Welcome to episode one of the YSF podcast. Our work in the sector is very broad and wide-ranging, as this first episode is testament to. With the new school term upon us, we're looking at primary schools, with this episode aimed at those who work in or with primary schools. I'm joined today, all the way from the office immediately outside the meeting room in which we're recording, by the two people whose job it is here at YSF to support primary schools in South Yorkshire and West Yorkshire. Firstly, Dan Wilson, who's been Development Manager for PE in School Sport here for 6 years. Dan's previously been a teacher himself and also worked in a local authority as a schools advisor, amongst a couple of other roles. Alongside him is Charlotte Ellis, Development Officer for PE in School Sport. Charlotte's been with us for around 9 months now, having previously been School Games Organiser at Calderdale. Hello to both of you.
Morning.
Hiya.
Charlotte, your first podcast appearance, is that correct?
Yes.
Confident? Nervous?
Absolutely fine.
Excellent, good. But comparatively, Dan, you are the podcast veteran. This is also my first podcast. So you're going to be the one leading the way, I presume.
I'll try my best.
So we'll come to you shortly to lead the way. As well as speaking to Dan and Charlotte, we've also been very grateful to Helen Cartwright, who is the PE coordinator at Horbury Primary School, who popped in to see us before the start of term. Helen's school won the Yorkshire Primary PE and Sports Premium Award for engagement of all pupils in regular physical activity in 2018-19. We spoke to her about how she's gone about getting the school to that award-winning level, and hopefully she can provide you with some useful tips. But before then, Dan, your time to shine. So to put a bit of context to this, people may have heard of Yorkshire Sport Foundation. They may have through PE conferences or various things. They may have also heard of active partnerships through government strategies and what have you, but perhaps not put the two and two together. So first of all, just explain what an active partnership is.
It's a good question, because you're right. I think the majority of schools we speak to haven't got a clue what an active partnership is, or even kind of really understand the work that Yorkshire Sport Foundation do. So essentially there's 43 active partnerships that cover the entirety of England, each one covering a county, or in our case covering two counties, West Yorkshire and South Yorkshire. The majority of active partnerships are independent charities that get vast majority of our funding through Sport England. So leading on lots of Sport England projects, usually around community sport engagement, but our part of the world is obviously around school sport engagement. So we get lots of funding. I think there's 6 or 7 children, young people, Sport England projects that we're working on at the minute. Considerable amount of investment and funding going into that, and that funds our role and our team to help schools.
That's great. That's a broad idea of what we do as an active partnership. So bringing it back to obviously primary PE and school sport and your two roles, where do we sit in the bigger picture with your YSTs, Association for PE? Where does Yorkshire Sport Foundation sit in that? What's our purpose and what's our uniqueness amongst those?
So working with the other national partners, there's several national partners that all work on government strategies, initiatives within schools around PE, sport and physical activity. So as you mentioned, Youth Sport Trust, AFP and ourselves all work collaboratively all around the general PE, sport and physical activity messaging. So we have specific funded project from Sport England to help schools to spend their PE and sport premium funding effectively. We also have a remit to survey school websites. So every year we have a delightful task of looking through hundreds and hundreds of school websites and seeing what they're spending their funding on. All that information gets compiled into a national report, sent back to DfE, and they look at it and determine where future priority is going to be. But it's really useful for us locally, because we can see what our schools across West and South Yorkshire are spending money on, and then we can kind of put our initiatives and our guidance and support into the right places where they need it the most.
I suppose one of the important things for people to know is that we're very much neutral. There's no...
Absolutely,
we'll reference things in here, but it's not a sales pitch. We're not a profit-making organisation.
Absolutely. All the work we do is completely funded by Sport England. So with the exception of the conferences where we have to charge people to come just to cover our face, just to wash the face. But all the advice, we try to be seen as the neutral broker. So to have a clear, detailed understanding of what the local and national landscape is like and what resources and initiatives are out there for schools... We go to those schools and we take into account everything around them, you know, the cohort of children, the kind of area the school's sit in, the expertise of the teachers, And then we're able to point them in the right direction of this initiative would be a good idea for you. It might be Youth Sport Trust, might be AFP, might be a local coaching company or whatever. And to give that impartial, unbiased advice.
Fantastic. That's great. So we'll start our look ahead to 2019-2020 academic year, which I appreciate we're a few weeks into at the time of recording. So we'll start our look ahead by looking back to July more specifically, and a couple of things that might have slipped under people's radar. The first one being the Healthy Schools Rating Scheme that was announced at the start of July. So it says that the Healthy Schools Rating Scheme is a voluntary scheme for schools that recognises and encourages their contribution to supporting pupils' health and well-being. Charlotte, tell us a bit more about it. That's obviously July, we're in September. How have things moved along and how can schools get involved if they're interested?
So we've already had loads of interest from across both South and West Yorkshire. But basically, the Healthy Schools Rating comes out of the back of the Active Life Survey, which is run by Sport England, basically to find out how active children and young people are. Within that is a teacher survey, and from that, the Healthy Schools Rating take a few of the answers to then rate a school at either bronze, silver or gold, depending on how they've answered. Every time that you complete the Active Life Survey, you will get a Healthy Schools Rating. This started going back on term two of last year. They should all receive a Healthy Schools Rating. If you go, now do it again, you could compare, see if you're different from academic year to academic year. If you have been selected for the Active Life Survey in from term two all the way through to now and going forward, you'll automatically get the Healthy Schools Rating. But you can't get the rating unless you've filled out the Active Life Survey.
So you mentioned their schools get selected. So what's that? How does that work across the various districts? Selected? People go, well, if I'm not selected, how can I get the rating and shout about what we're doing? So can they volunteer or is it, have you just got to wait for your turn to come around?
Yes, you can volunteer. So you can opt in to the survey and select certain classes, things like that. That's all done through our website at the moment, and then we work with Sport England for them to then be able to complete the survey. However, if you are then selected later on, you would be asked to complete the survey again. It's not a process if you've done it once, you've completed it. You could then get picked in term three of this year or into next year. We would request that you complete the survey again.
How much time does it take to complete the survey, both for pupils, teachers, parents? What's the sort of commitment that schools need to if they did volunteer for that?
In primary schools, it completely depends on what age group it is. So in year one and two, the questions around the behaviour and how many times a week do people do sport, we ask that the parents fill out that part of the survey, purely because at that age, children aren't necessarily sure or would get more confused. And then the children actually start to complete a survey around how they feel about sport, if it makes them feel happy, all those sort of things, and then they're collated. From year three to year six, it's completely down to the child to complete the survey. It takes around 20 minutes from start to finish. They'll have a unique code for them to log on to the internet, follow a link and answer the questions from that. And there is also a teacher's survey, which is where the Healthy Schools Rating comes, but that can be done at the same time. It's the same amount of questions pretty much.
Great. We've got a webpage for that, which is yorkshiresport.org/healthy schools, where there's an expression of interest form. A week after that, School Sport and Activity Action Plan was released. We saw Dan doing a jig around the office when that came through.
It's one of been waiting a while for that one.
Christmas for Dan. For those yet to read it, we'd obviously encourage them to, but for those who haven't had the time yet or haven't seen it, talk us through some of the highlights and what it means in practical terms for schools and PE leads in particular.
So it's a big piece of work by the government, and we, as Andy said, we've been expecting it for quite a while now. Cross-sector plan, so Department for Education, Department for Culture, Media and Sport and Department for Health have all contributed to putting this action plan together, and there's lots of commitments in there and that the government are going to try and roll out over the coming months and years. As I said, a couple of the highlights, the government have pledged to fund innovative pilots, which there's very little detail around what that actually means yet, but it looks like they're going to be doing some focus work in various regions across the country, looking at how sport and physical activity can drive engagement, other outcomes in schools, kind of a bit of test and learn kind of thing, see what's going on there. So we don't have any further information about that just yet. There's a big push to raise awareness of the new Chief Medical Officer guidelines for physical activity. So they changed quite recently. And it's just a case of sharing all that information with schools about how active children should be. So previously, well, the headline is every child should be active for 60 minutes a day. But a slight tweak to that has been on average over the course of a week. So children need to be active for 60 minutes a day on average over a week. So it means you don't have to do 60 minutes in one go, or the message that they're trying to get out there is do bits and bobs throughout a day over a week, accumulating in an average of 60 minutes a day. So that's really simple to have to explain to schools, because the next one is actually trying to make it sound as simple as possible, in line with as recognisable as, you know, the 5-a-day messages, things like that, quite simple to understand. So we're going to have to do a lot of information sharing with schools around that one. There was also a commitment from the government to put a large amount of funding into active partnerships like ourselves, hopefully like ourselves, because we have to apply for the funding for this one, around opening up school facilities and using them for community engagement. So it's a case of finding schools that are doing it really well and sharing what works, but also finding some schools that are struggling maybe and seeing what sort of learning we can take from the process in opening them up better for local sports clubs or other kind of organisations to use playgrounds and fields after school and at weekends. So a big piece of work about that, and that should actually come out very, very soon. I think DfE are looking to get funding out in the field in the next couple of months for that one.
I was going to say, you've touched on quite a few things then. It's things that are coming. This was July, we're now in September. Are there any more firmed updates, or is it still just a wait and see for it to come through from
DfE?
Yeah,
a lot of it is, well, there's one thing that we're expecting to see in the next couple of weeks or so. The government are updating the guidelines for the P and Sport Premium funding for this year. No commitment about whether they are planning on rolling it on any further than this academic year, but the guidelines about what it should be spent on are due to have a little update in the next few weeks or so, and that'll be on the DfE website.
Okay, great. And any updates that do come out, we will put those out through our Twitter account at Yorkshire Sport, and when we send out our newsletters. So if you're not following us or not subscribed, then get in touch and we'll add you to the list. One final thing before we get on to Helen's interview, and one of the really exciting things to come out of the last academic year was the Creating Active Schools 2-day conference at Leeds Beckett University. For those who weren't there, Dan, just give us a quick overview of what happened across the 2 days and what made it so unique.
It was a unique conference put on by ourselves and colleagues from Public Health England and Leeds Beckett University. We'd done loads of work with PE subject leaders and the teachers about training them up, which is brilliant and fantastic. And they come back to school all galvanised, and then they go and talk to the head teacher about all these exciting things they want to do around sport. And then there's loads of other things that the head teacher needs to prioritise, marking books, assessment, Ofsted, all those sorts of things. And quite often they found that they were maybe banging their head against a brick wall a lot of the time. So we decided to put on a 2-day conference specifically for school leaders to share all that learning about how important physical activity is and the holistic outcomes, and it can have an impact on attainment, all those sorts of things that they are prioritising. So this conference at Leeds Beckett had around 100 school leaders, but also international speakers, international researchers in the field of physical activity, some case studies from head teachers that have done it really well to share that learning. And then the second day of the conference was a think tank about, we've got all this expertise in the room at the same time, can we get our ideas together onto a page and develop a framework about how to create active schools? So we've developed this in partnership with 50 of these school leaders and researchers and public health and active partnership colleagues, a creating active schools framework that we're now looking to take out into the field and test it in schools to see how it might work in individual schools. But we're also having conversations with Sport England and hopefully DfE and other national policy makers to see how we can use this new framework to embed physical activity throughout the school day.
So it's been well received nationally, internationally there. I know you said you've had contact from genuinely around the world.
America, Australia, Europe, up and down the country. It really seems to have galvanised, got a lot of people enthusiastic and really asking questions about how they can start the ball rolling.
And more locally to us and where we work, our area, so there's going to be some work going on in Bradford, I understand, to test it out and put it into practice rather than just having this.
That's right. Starting this week, actually, we're working with schools, a small handful of schools that have got funding from another project for Sport England, 12 schools focusing around children and young people, how can we embed physical activity in the ethos of those schools? So it's around everything they do when they're creating new policies, new curriculums, talking to governors and parents and the community. You know, physical activity needs to be mentioned in all of those conversations. So it's seeing how the framework works in practice in 12 schools in Bradford. Very exciting project.
Great. We'll find out what's happening with that later on in the school year, I'm sure. Thanks to both of you for now. And now's the turn of our special guest. Charlotte and I caught up with Helen just before the start of the new year and began by asking her what PE and school sport was like at her school when she arrived around 4 years ago.
When I arrived, there wasn't very much happening at all. There was very few extracurricular clubs, nothing really happening on lunchtime. There was no focus on physical activity. There was very little understanding of how the primary sports grant was being spent. Didn't really know how much would come into school. They had a PE specialist in school at the time that delivered PPA cover, and that's about as far as it went. They went to competitions regularly, but a lot of parents commented to me when I first started that children weren't prepared for competitions. They weren't winning anything. They weren't even coming close to third or second. They were turning up with no knowledge of the rules, which made me feel that, well, if the clubs aren't running, that's one side of it. But the other side of it is also what's being taught in PE lessons. It should be coming through that at least. So there was a lot. I felt very much like I was going back to where I was when I started at Garforth 12 years ago. But having had gone through all that, I had that experience to bring to Horbury.
So when you arrived there and, like you say, you assessed what was going on, what was your first priority? What was the first thing you did when you identified those areas that you felt could be better? What did you start with?
CPD for staff. That was the big area because we had a PE specialist in place that was doing the outdoor games. So I wanted to look at what he was delivering and what areas he needed help and further training with. And then alongside that, the gymnastics, the indoor PE as such, the gymnastics, the dance, like fitness circuits, anything, none of that was really happening. What was very limited and subject knowledge was okay. So I decided to use coaches that I've worked with previously at my other school. I brought them in to deliver gymnastics and dance, and they follow a CPD programme where they'll observe the coaches for a couple of weeks and then they have to teach warm-up. And they get feedback on that. And it's like a build-up over the 6 weeks, so it's not just sit back and watch. For me personally, if I sit back and watch 6 weeks, I'll be bored. I want to get involved. And the teachers had said that. So that was my first priority, coupled with the extracurricular clubs, because there was nothing happening after school, and I needed to get these children prepared for competition as well. So that was my initial setup.
So 4 years on, schools won the engagement of all pupils in regular physical activity.
Yeah.
Nice catchy award title there at the Yorkshire Primary and PE Premium Awards. Talk us through some of the things, I guess, across the 4 years, more specifically perhaps in the last 12 months that led to you putting yourselves forward for that award and ultimately going on to win it.
So obviously after addressing some of the other needs, 30-30 offer was introduced by the government, stressing that children needed 30 minutes of vigorous physical activity above and beyond the PE sessions. And I was happy that the children were getting after school provision, lunchtime provision, even at break times they were improving. And I was also happy with the level of PE teaching and the activity within those lessons. But then when they wanted us to do it above and beyond the PE lessons, it was looking at other outlets, how can we do that? And when I went to the Wakefield PE conference, I was really touched by the Design to Move video, which showed all these lovely children talking about what they would do if they had 5 to 10 years more of their life to live and how they would be astronauts and all kinds of things. And then it came up at the end that this current generation of children will live 5 to 10 years less than their parents. And having a 7-year-old daughter at the time, it really hit me. And I thought, oh gosh, that's my job as a primary teacher in PE and sport to really push that. So when we went back to school after the conference, I did like a 15-minute forum staff meeting with the staff. I showed them that video. We talked about the importance. It's been around for ages how physical activity can increase academic performance and so on. So the staff were really on board. And when they watched the Design to Move video, they were hit. Again, a number of them having small children, you know, kind of thought the same as me. So after that, we decided to implement physical activity both within and without the classroom. So we then introduced the physical activity minutes. So we used things like Go Noodle Super Movers and Zen Den, 1K a day, all kind of different things like that. And then we logged the minutes through the week. The minutes were collated at the end of the week, and then we had a class winner at the end of the week. And then that went into a whole school approach and was presented in the whole school assembly, where we have 5 awards, 2 of them being PE and physical activity based. So one of them is the most active class of the week, who does the most minutes. And then the other one is the Fitbit Challenge, where each class has a Fitbit. A child wears it for 1 day a week, and then they're encouraged by all their staff and teacher to be as active as they can. We clock the steps every day, and again, that leads into a winner at the end of the week, and they get awarded a certificate as the class that's done the most steps at the end of the week. With our class champions, we have a half-termly winner. So we've got the 2 PE awards every week, and then we have the attendance, the behaviour and the cloakroom awards. So it's a real whole school approach. And I think that's the crux to it really working and being embedded, because if you've not got everybody on board, it doesn't work. So, and then it was Angela Daniels, our SGO for Wakefield, that had obviously recognised the work we've been doing, witnessed it for herself, and then got in touch and said, I've nominated you for the award. So we were absolutely over the moon and flattered. And then got notified by Charlotte that we were the West Yorkshire winners, so even more over the moon. And just very, very proud of our school that we were going to the finals with no expectation of winning at all. So when myself and Claire, who helps out a lot in PE and runs quite a few of the clubs for me, when they said that we'd won, we were just, over the moon.
You mentioned how we're looking back there on 4 years, and you've got to the point where now what you're doing is winning awards, and we'll touch on the impact that it's had on some of the kids that you're teaching. But at that beginning, there might be PE leads listening to this going, this is great, I really want to do that, but how do I get the backing of the rest of the school? She mentioned the whole school approach needs to be embedded. Was that a seamless thing as soon as you held that staff forum, showed the video, was there complete buy-in? Did it take a bit longer? Was it, mm-hmm. I imagine it might differ teacher to teacher, yeah. But how did you go about getting everyone on board?
I think tackling it via the staff meeting, and obviously prior to that, I'd spoke to my head teacher, and I knew I had the backing of my head and my deputy with it. And when I said to them, I want to implement this and I don't want it to be a token 3-week thing that then gets lost. And for me, and I'm like 16 years into my teaching career, so I've got the experience and I suppose the confidence to say it, and some younger PE leads might not. But I just said to my head teacher, this has to go on to the school development plan, to which she obviously agreed. And when it's on the school development plan, there's no getting away from it then. So that was the first thing. And then showing the staff the Design to Move video, that hit home. So that bit was almost quite seamless with a number of staff. And then there's probably a couple of staff that I needed to just reassure that it was doable. I currently teach Year 6, and my colleague in the other class who teaches Year 6, we were doing it with all the added pressures that we have in Year 6. And I'm kind of like, well, if we can do it in Year 6... You can do it in Year 1, you can do it in Year 3, you can do it in Year 4. And it really doesn't take that long. And there was a big panic at the beginning of, oh, the children will be so disrupted. We'll be doing maths and it'll be 2 minutes of super movements. But it's 2 minutes that's linked to your learning. It doesn't have to be. I mean, there's some times when we've been doing, for example, SATs revision, and you can see you've had about half an hour of it, and you can see the children just declining with that. I need to just get up, move, walk around. Right, let's get a Just Dance on. All get up and, you know, dance, and then they're refreshed and back into it. So I think once the teachers could see the benefits, that obviously wanted to carry on. And the incentive as well, that the winning class also means that the teacher gets an extra hour PPA and the children get an extra session of PE with a coach, and they try something new. So the primary teacher's an extra hour PPA is gold dust.
How do you fit that all into the timetable? And is that when the kids are doing their coach session, that gives the teacher?
Yeah. So we just make sure a TA goes out with the coach, and then the teacher gets that extra hour of PPA. So that was a real, real incentive for a lot of staff as well. Hopefully in the future, we won't need the incentive. It'll just become the norm. But just something to kind of dangle that carrot, it seemed to work.
So you mentioned that you originally went to your head teacher, and that you've got their buy-in. How have you managed to get that buy-in from them? And if you have come across any issues, what have they been?
managing to get that buy-in, I suppose it's doing your research and going in armed with the facts. Having been to the Wakefield PE conference prior to that, there was a number of speakers that day that spoke about the benefits of physical activity and what the impact would be for our current generation of children if there wasn't. So when you're speaking to, you know, your senior leaders about that and you're giving them facts and anything you can give them on academics and say, you know, this is going to help our year six SATs results, this is going to help our phonics screening, our year two SATs, they really pick up and listen then. I mean, I'm very lucky. I have my old head teacher was very much into sport and really believed in it and wanted to push it through the school. And same with the new head teacher that came in just over 18 months ago. So I'm in a very privileged position in that sense. There's not all teachers that are. But I think just going in armed with the facts and having the confidence and showing that you're passionate and you believe it and you will drive it and you will monitor it and you will really push it really shows them. And linking it to performance management as well. If you're teaching, you're prepared to put something on your performance management that you believe in again. I think because they've been out of the loop for so long with all the PE and sport at Horbury, I think in a way they were just quite thankful that somebody was taking it by the horns as such and doing something good with it. And I think they'd seen the impact of like the extracurricular clubs on the children, seeing the impact of them coming back from competitions and saying, we came third, we didn't come last, or we came first and we're through to Wakefield Games. And, you know, the first time they qualified for the West Yorkshire Games and, you know, things like that. Having that prowess then has really made a lot of staff go, oh, we can do this. For me, there's not been any major obstacle. But like I said, because I think I've got a lot of experience under my belt, I might have tackled it in the right way. But I feel for a lot of coordinators out there that I speak to who are really up against heads with SATs results that are rock bottom and that's their only priority and they couldn't give up any second of the day for anything else. And, you know, it's all maths, it's all English, which it is. I'm a year six teacher, I get it, I totally get it. But there's a lot to be said about having happy, healthy children because the happy, healthy ones learn. It is really tough in a lot of schools.
Leading us seamlessly on to SATs results. How have they been this year?
Yeah, they've been really good, actually. Well, for example, our year one phonics results, they increased this year. So they have to, our year ones have to sit a test and it's reading all different words with various phonics sounds. And we had, in 2018, 82% passed, got the expected standard. This year we had 88%, so that increased. I'd really like to believe that, you know, the physical activity has helped them in some way because I know a lot of the teachers have implemented some of their activities through phonics. So rather than sitting down, phonics lends itself really to a lot of physical activity. And the teachers have said to me, oh, we've done phonics this way today and we were jumping up and down while we were recognising this sound. Or we've taken phonics in the hall and we've done running to different corners. It's just thinking outside the box, which I think early years, Key Stage 1, are very good at that. And then you hit Key Stage 2 and it's like, sit down. No, let's not sit down. Let's still be active because children need to move. As regards the year six, I think our biggest thing to report was the reading, writing, maths combined score. The national was a 65% and we got 80%. So we were 15% above the national for our reading, writing, maths combined at the expected standard.
How's that compare maybe to a year, two, 3 years ago when you first started?
So last year, our reading, writing, maths combined, 69% in 2018. It was 61% in 2017. It was 58% in 2016.
When we talk about data and where you might be going up against the head teacher or senior leadership teamwork, which don't, is that you like say, not pushing out as much of an open door?
Yeah.
As an example, it is only one out of the hundreds of schools across West Yorkshire and South Yorkshire, but that's a 21% increase in the space of, what, 3 or 4 years?
3 or 4 years, yeah. And there's a lot of other factors that affect the SATs. You know, I'm not sat here saying it's just physical activity and sport at all, but I do think it's played a part. When I look at what we've implemented this year in year six, it's very similar to what we did in 2018. In 2018, we started to implement the extra physical activity and up the profile of PE and sport across the school. and we saw an increase last year to 69%, and then this year the increase to 80%, you know, is just phenomenal. And I honestly think a lot of the children, when I look back, and I hope they would back me up on this, but they weren't, a lot of them were not stressed going into the SATs. And we do make a big thing of, you know, we just want you to try your best, but we do that all year. And then coupled with that broader curriculum of incorporating the PE, the sport, the music, the art, it, like you said, it brings out that more rounded child, which is what you want at the end of primary school.
And what about the children that perhaps mentioned competitions, which generally the sort of heir of the sporty child who might already be quite into that. How have you found incorporating physical activity and or sport into lessons and things like that have helped the children that perhaps don't, you wouldn't necessarily see go into your after school football or netball clubs?
We had 34% of children across school from year 1 to 6 taking part in clubs. And then in the summer term, that's rose to 52%. And I think a lot of children, because of our competition calendar, and I say competition calendar, there's competitions that follow the pathway and go through to Wakefield games and obviously on to West Yorkshire games. And we've got some very strong, talented children that you know, make those teams and progress through. But we've also got for fun festivals, activity festivals, non-competitive. And we've really looked at those children at the start of the year that we feel are inactive. We do a survey with the children at the start of the year and find out what they do in and out of school. Those that we flag up as not really doing anything, we monitor them in PE, play times. Do we deem them inactive? Yes, we do, because they're not engaged in PE. They don't want to take part in a running game, play time, for example. So from there, they're on our radar to put forward to a Just for Fun festival. And then we've had some of them, not all of them, some of them come back and hate it and just don't want to do it. It's the way it goes. And then we've got other children that come back and say, I really, really enjoyed that badminton. Where's the nearest club? Can we have a badminton club? And you know you've done the right thing then. And I think for us as a school, our main philosophy is, yeah, it's great winning. And we love, don't get me wrong, I'm the most competitive ever. But it's also good to make sure that by the end of year 6, every child's represented school at something. And I think the physical activity that we've implemented has encouraged more children to do that. But also we want them to leave Horbury Primary with that love, that passion for activity. It might be they want to become an England ladies footballer. It might be that they want to do the park run every Sunday morning. But long as they want to do some activity and be healthy, that's the main thing.
Talk quite a lot about big picture stuff and data and all the rest of it. In terms of a more practical sense, PE leads or teachers might be listening to this. What tips would you give them from practical examples of what they could do in their school?
Don't just presume. Speak, gather views, pupil voice, speak to your head teacher, speak to the, you know, staff, what's manageable. I think because then you've got them on board. If, you know, there's nothing worse than I've been on the receiving end of you doing this. You know, and you're thinking, hang on, I can't fit that in, I can't, and what's the point? And I think it's going in, it's communicating with them, it's giving them the facts, it's giving them the reason behind why you want to do what you want to do. I think if you do that, you've got your staff on board. So I say that's the first thing. Organisation is key, that's the second thing. When you're doing anything like that, you know, if you say you're going to do the physical activity log for them, do it and keep up to date with it. Don't let it be a, you know, I'll do it this week or I've not bothered the following week. I trained the house captains up in the end to do the logs for me. I'm a teacher, I'm busy, you've got to grab the time where you can. So they now collate all the data for me at the end of the week and then they tell me who's won and I just send an email out to staff. And so, you know, there's ways and means. It's about thinking smart sometimes. Is it a job I really need to do? No. It's a job that, you know, year sixes would take the responsibility and do. So, yeah, organisation, communication are the two top tips, I would say.
What about initiatives then? I guess that, like, practical tips, but things that you've done. So you mentioned, so the Fitbit Challenge might be the one you want to talk about, but what other things have you done and seen real sort of rewards and results from?
I suppose moving forward, we've started to look at actual maths and English lessons and make them more active, rather than fitting activity breaks around, looking at maybe making a maths lesson active, so doing like orienteering arithmetic and taking it outside. And we've invested in the Tagtivate company. So we've had CPD and training from them, and we've only just had the training, but already the staff a buzzing and accessing the resources and planning for the new school year, because we've said every week there's got to be a tag debate lesson somewhere in the class. So I'm proud of it because of all the teachers that are so buzzing from it. I can't tell you what the impact's going to be on that yet, but that's kind of our next step. But I think I'm just proud of the fact all the staff have taken it on board and believe in it and are passionate about it. And if you've got that, then there's kind of no stopping you with doing the next incentive.
Thanks again to Helen for sharing some of her experiences there, and sorry for the sound quality, that was a bit dodgy. It is our first attempt, so sorry if that caused you any issues, but we'll make sure it's better in the future. Now, Dan, Charlotte, Helen's clearly a very experienced teacher, and she's got a supportive senior management team, which is fantastic. I'm sure you wish every single school across South Yorkshire and West Yorkshire are also supportive and has someone with her level of experience, but no, not all peer leads have that support, or there might be NQTs or recently qualified teachers as well. But one of the things that Helen did refer to a number of times about getting those people on side was getting the evidence to go to your senior leaders and making that case. People may be thinking that's great, but as someone who's perhaps newer in post than Helen is, where do I find that information? So help them out. Where can they go and get these sort of things to make their case?
There's plenty of research, plenty of organisations that are trying to help teachers to demonstrate the impact, the improvements that can make with these sorts of things. I would say look on our website, Yorkshire Sport Foundation website, we've got loads of resources up on there. And with our other national partners, Youth Sport Trust and AFP, loads of resources there as well for them to look at. A bit more locally, you know, there's Twitter, loads of conversation always going on Twitter, and all the there's a group of people regularly talking about PE, sport and physical activity, but how it relates particularly to primary schools. I would also suggest following Youth Sport Trust, AFP and ourselves on Twitter, and the PE umbrella is a really good local one as well. Regular podcasts are produced through that, sharing good practice, talking about what works. We're actually in the process at the minute of creating a resource with as many of the initiatives out there as possible to bring them all together, to save teachers the time of Googling and looking out for what might be out there. We've tried to put as many of them in one place. Keeping it, a lot of it is kind of Yorkshire focused, admittedly. There's a wealth of resources and providers around Yorkshire, a real movement around Yorkshire around physical activity in schools. But we'll be publishing something very soon. Again, that will come out through our website. There is also a drive through the School Sport Action Plan to create an online catch-all resource that will have everything out there that will be offered, but that's probably a few months down the line to come. So ours is probably going to be available a lot sooner than that.
Helen also mentioned that one of the things that really resonated with her was when she went to the PE conference and heard from, I believe she's referencing Dr. William Bird, who I know me and you, we've heard a few times, and every time it just makes the medical terminology sound so simple, and it really resonates. So PE conferences, part of our role, as you mentioned earlier on, is to deliver those. What are some dates for the diaries for the ones that we are more directly involved in?
So we're really excited about the conferences this year. We've listened to feedback from schools and the sector, and what's coming back really strong about what teachers want to hear about this year is all around mental health and how physical activity can improve pupils' mental health and teachers' mental health as well. And also there's a lot of unrest or a lot of uncertainty in the sector at the minute around the new Ofsted inspection framework. So all our conferences this year are themed around mental health. We've got a brilliant keynote speaker who runs all over the world, but links running to how it can improve your mental health. He's talking at all of our conferences, and an experienced Ofsted inspector is going to talk about how the new framework can relate and have an impact on physical activity and sport. So our conferences for this year, we're running Barnsley's is the first one at Tankersley Manor on the 16th of October. Kirklees is at the Waterloo Suite on the 7th of November. Bradford's is on the 28th of November at Heaton Mount. Wakefield, 21st of January at Waterton Park. And Rotherham's is on the 5th of February at New York Stadium. And all of those, I believe, can be booked through our website.
Yes, and what's the cost per person?
It's £50, £50 per person. That includes hot lunch and a brilliant day of learning.
Well, I'll be there. Is there a limit, number of places per school? Bring as many as you can. Yeah.
Yeah. Several of them, you'll have to check the website for further details, but several of them, you get one, if you buy one ticket, you get a free place for a senior leader. And some of them we do breakfast briefings for head teachers as well, which offer kind of bite-sized, in the whole conference in an hour at the beginning. So the head teacher doesn't need to come to the whole conference. They can just get the key points first thing between, I think it's 8 and 9 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, well, we said earlier on that we wouldn't do sales pitching, but so that was, we're bordering on that. But yes, as I said, all those costs are just to cover the cost of running the event. Charlotte, Helen was one of the award winners at the Primary PE Awards last year, one of five different categories, is that right?
Yes, five different categories.
So there are, explain how that works. It's not, it's Yorkshire, it's not just ourselves who leads on those awards.
So we work in partnership with Humber and North Yorkshire to have a fantastic celebration at the end of the academic year about what's going on, all things PE and sport. But we kind of break it down in that we want everyone to apply because everyone's doing something good, whether they might not think it's that innovative or anything like that. We want everyone to apply and show us what they're doing. So basically, it's a simple application form. It's only nice and short, where you tell us what you're doing. And then we have meetings with an external panel to pick a West and a South Yorkshire winner on our behalf.
Two separate winners, that, isn't there? Yeah.
So it's one per area. And then they get put forward to be the winner of the Yorkshire Award, which Helen won in her category. They are changing this year completely.
Exciting times.
It is. It's been the same quite a few years. So the categories this year are changing from what they were last year to an Innovation Award, Sustainability, the Whole School Impact, and an Active School. Last year it was completely down to the KPIs of their PE premium, so we were trying to make it easier for schools. But a lot of them crossed over categories, and we thought these are a bit broader. And then they can pick which one they think it works in better, hoping that we've got a few more schools that are a bit more inclined to apply because it's not something that they'll have already read. So fingers crossed. The applications are going to be open very soon, so keep your eyes out. And that will be open all the way till the end of March, closing then. And then you will find out if you are successful or unsuccessful on the back of that, ready for the celebration in June, July.
How does it work time frame wise? So in terms, you said that people can nominate themselves until the end of March. What are we looking for? Are we looking for from this term, September 2019 to March? How far back can people go? Obviously, the school year doesn't fit neatly into a calendar year, but and initiatives don't start in January and end in December. So what are we looking for when people are thinking, I want to apply, but I'm not sure if that quite is in the bracket of the time frame?
We had a massive discussion around this of whether it should go on the academic year and if it should be, if you're winning the award for the 2019 to 2020, that it should be for that academic year. And we said, you know what, it probably doesn't, because some schools won't have applied, we don't think, last year because they won't have known when to. So we've said, as long as it's recent, so it could be from last academic year or this academic year, depending on when you write your application. So a lot of people might have started something now and apply in March while it's in the process, absolutely fine. But if you're wanting to look back on something you've done last year, we're also fine with that.
Fantastic. And just to finish off, what are, between the pair of you, your go-to resources, Twitter accounts, podcasts, websites? Where are you looking to keep on top of what's going on in the sort of PE and school sport world on a regular basis?
As I've said already, I think the PE umbrella is a fantastic one because it's not just the podcast and the information that goes out through that, but also the retweets and the kind of network that you'll get involved in through that as well. And probably my other top one is one of our recent Yorkshire Sport Premium Award winners went on to set up his own kind of business called Burn to Learn, and regularly shares videos of games that you can play with kids all around, teaching maths through being physically active, teaching English through being physically active, but some brilliant videos with his kids and other kids that he's working with, just really simple ideas, just to copy. And obviously my Twitter handle is at the Dan Wilson, so I would obviously advocate people follow me as well.
Of course. Charlotte?
To be honest, with Dan's Twitter, he does retweet anything he finds, so if you can't find it on Twitter, it'll be on the Dan Wilson somewhere. Other than that, keeping up to date on the Department of Health and the Department of Education, any releases through their website, because sometimes that doesn't always come through on Twitter. And then from us, we get the active partnership updates, which then we try and push out to schools as well.
Yes, and if there are any two accounts that you absolutely follow and would breathe yourself, Dan, also at Yorkshire Sport, any big significant news that comes in this world, we will share there for people. But there are plenty of other good ones out there, and we'll retweet them from time to time. So we'll put all the links and all the resources that Dan and Charlotte have mentioned in the show notes. But thank you both for your time. Hope everyone listening has found this useful. We're planning to do one at the start of each term. So if you have any feedback or questions, or if you're doing some great work in your school and you just want to share your story with people, get in touch with us. You can tweet us at Yorkshire Sport, or you can email us, media@yorkshiresport.org. But for now, have a great autumn term. Thanks for listening, and we'll speak to you all soon.